Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
But to deny what happened on January 6th, the first time in American history that a president or anyone tried to overturn a fair election and the peaceful transfer of power.
It's really rich for Democratic leaders to say that Donald Trump is a unique threat to democracy when he peacefully gave over power on January the 20th, as we have done for 250 years in this country. We are going to shake hands after this debate and after this election. And of course, I hope that we win, and I think we're going to win. But if Tim Walz is the next vice president, he'll have my prayers, he'll have my best wishes, and he'll have my help whenever he wants it.
The vice presidential debate on CBS last night from New York. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz and Ohio Senator J.D. Vance. And most Americans polled overnight who were watching kind of aligned with their candidate on who they liked. But really, statistically, apparently it was a tie. Well, we're honored to have with us Dr. Paul Kengore, who is really a professor of political science at Grove City College, so much more, New York Times bestselling author. Ken, welcome to KDK. Good morning.
Yeah, thanks, Larry. Good to be with you.
So at Grove City, obviously there is a strong faith-based education that goes on at a higher level there. So I'm just curious, you watched the debate. What was your take?
Yeah, well, okay. So I thought J.D. Vance did exceptionally well. And let me say this as a compliment to both of them. After watching debates between Donald Trump and Kamala Harris, Donald Trump and Joe Biden, just going at each other's throats, right? The anger in the room in those other two previous debates, the vitriol, you're on edge the whole time. That debate last night, brought us back to the way I thought debates should be. I mean, they debated like two gentlemen. They both came off, I thought, as likable. Neither of them were you kind of spitting at them saying, oh, man, this guy. It was a good debate. It reminded me of, Bush-Kerry in 2004. Go back 40 years. Reagan-Mondale, right, 1984. So I appreciated that. I thought that they both did well. I don't think that either did terribly. I mean, I actually thought, I'm surprised to hear that the overnight polls say that it was even, because I really thought that Vance did better than Walz. I thought the best kind of glove that Walz landed was actually what you led with, Larry, the question about January 6th. That puts Vance in a tough situation because he has to try to, you know, defend that in a way not to anger his boss, Donald Trump, right? So, and it's unfortunate for Vance that the moderators are going to bring that up in probably every debate. By the way, they didn't bring up Russia. They didn't bring up Afghanistan. I also thought they would even bring up how the two questioned one another's military records at one point. That didn't come up. I think the by far the worst moment for Tim Walz, and this would be a credit to the debate moderators who, a lot of conservatives are saying the debate moderators were biased. They weren't as biased as the ABC moderators. But they questioned Tim Walz on him claiming that he had been in Hong Kong during the Tiananmen Square protests in January 1989. And I teach that stuff at Grove City College, at Tiananmen Square. And right away, I turned to my son next to me and I said, oh, man, this is bad. I can't believe they asked him this question. Because it's true, Walz was not there. And his kind of stuttering and stammering to explain himself, and he didn't do it very well. And then the moderator went right back at him and said, so what are you saying? Were you there or not? And then he kind of stuttered and stammered again and then kind of said that he misspoke. So that was his worst moment of the night. And Vance could have really stuck the knife in him there at that point. But I think Vance actually felt bad for him on that. But overall, it was good to see a debate between, two guys acting like gentlemen and having genuine policy debates and shaking hands afterwards and talking about shaking hands. I liked it. I was impressed.
We're with Professor Paul Kengor, Grove City College, and New York Times bestselling author. I want to talk to you about Reagan because the film had been out in the theaters. Obviously, the timing of presidential campaign season, but we'll get to that in a moment. But I thought that Walz could have went after J.D. Vance about Springfield, and he did not. He could have brought up the eating of the pets thing, and he kind of backed off of that. So back and forth, they let each other off the hook at certain times throughout the course of the evening, and then you saw a moment of civility after where they shook hands like gentlemen and apparently were exchanging a conversation.
Yeah, and I thought they treated each other quite gentlemanly the whole way through. And in fact, I'm the editor of the American Spectator. I'm looking at our lead piece right now by Dan Flynn, and his take is this: the title of his piece is, and keep in mind this is coming from a conservative, right? But he said Vance outclasses Walz in debate that validates his selection. Now, forget the outclasses Walz piece because I thought they were both pretty classy, but there were a lot of Republicans who were starting to think that the J.D. Vance pick by Trump wasn't a good pick, that he should have picked somebody like maybe a Marco Rubio who could have appealed to Latinos or whoever. But you're now hearing today from a lot of conservatives and Republicans who thought Trump maybe made a bad pick with Walz. They felt last night like, wow, Walz was great. Vance was great. We're so glad Trump picked him. He was so smart. He was so polished. He was so good. So I think in that sense, your question, right, Larry, in these debates is how does this move the needle, right? So I think that that debate last night helped Trump and Vance with their base in Republicans. I think it probably helped them with independents. I know Democrats were pleased with points that Walz brought up, including January 6th and so forth. So I doubt this debate really moved the needle much, but I'm looking at Real Clear Politics this morning, and you're looking at a 1-2% difference between Harris and Trump in the polls. And I think if this moved it at all, I think maybe a half a point toward Trump, and that's not much. But it's really clear, really, inches difference election where Pennsylvania is less than 1%. It could have made a difference. By the way, I should add here, I think our Pennsylvania governor, Josh Shapiro, would have done a much better job last night than Tim Walz did.
Well, so I think it would have been, I guarantee it would have been much more aggressive than it was. So, all right, Paul, do you have time to talk about Reagan, the movie?
And, I do. Sure.
All right, we're with Paul Kengor, professor at Grove City College on the Big K Morning Show. We'll be, Paul co-wrote the movie Reagan, and this movie was just out. So I know you'd say, well, politics aside, how do you say that when you're talking about a movie about a president? We continue our conversation with Professor Paul Kengor, Grove City College, New York Times bestselling author who's written many, many books. And seeing a big screen movie like Reagan, starring Dennis Quaid as Ronald Reagan, Penelope Ann Miller. Professor, congratulations. That's quite an accomplishment to be part of a big film like this.
Yeah, thanks, Larry. You know, we began it back in 2004.
So wow.
20 years ago, right? That tells you how long it takes to do something like this. And Mark Joseph, the producer of the movie, he had read my first book on Ronald Reagan. It was called God and Ronald Reagan. And he called me from the Rock River in Dixon, Illinois, which is where Ronald Reagan lifeguarded for 7 summers, saved the lives of 77 people. And I was driving up the PA Turnpike. I remember this very well. And he said, I love this book. I'd like to make a movie about it. And I started telling him at that moment about the next book I was already working on, a sequel to it called The Crusader, Ronald Reagan and the Fall of Communism. And I said, you know, that book begins with a Rock River, Reagan lifeguarding, talks about his defeat of Soviet communism. And I said, I think that's the one you ought to turn into a movie. And so we ultimately did. And but man, it took a long time. And I'll tell you, the key was getting Dennis Quaid. And we got Quaid to play Reagan probably about 2020. And then, of course, COVID hit. And then we were filming in Guthrie, Oklahoma, of all places, which turned out to be a great location, except COVID hit the set again, 2021. That delayed us again. But by basically 2022, we had a film put together and you know, tinkered with it and made adjustments to it since. And it was released August 30th, 2024, in about 4,000 theaters. And it's doing very, very well.
Yeah, and the new world of distribution used to rely on theatrical release. Certainly, that's a big component. However, with so many different streaming options, it does create and will for this, I'm sure, a great audience. Ronald Reagan, what did you like most about Reagan as president?
Well, I'd say it's the same thing that we have in the movie. And this is one of the things that we're kind of mystified by, some of the harsh criticisms of the film, especially people coming at it ideologically from the left, and usually by people who are younger and were born after the 1980s, after the fall of the Berlin Wall. I mean, I lived through the 1980s. I graduated from Butler High School in 1984, graduated from Pitt 1990. So I remember this period. And in 1984, and we convey this in the film, Ronald Reagan won 49 out of 50 states. I mean, could you imagine that?
No.
he won almost 60% of the vote. He won the Electoral College 525 to 13. Okay, he twice won Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, California, and even Massachusetts. And so we're trying to, and we show in the film, we show him and Tip O'Neill talking about having a beer together, holding hands, praying after Reagan was shot, right? Tip O'Neill was the Democrat Speaker of the House. You weren't going to see that among Donald Trump and Nancy Pelosi, right? You know, Walter Cronkite said, "I've never seen a president this well-liked. Nobody hates Reagan. It's amazing. Everybody likes him." And then 1987, you have the Berlin Wall speech. Reagan reaches across the aisle. We have works with people like Mikhail Gorbachev, now the head of what Reagan had called the evil empire. 1989, Berlin Wall comes down. And it's funny, Larry, we're being accused in this film of like hagiography, right? This like saintly portrayal of Reagan, of this like overly positive film. But the whole idea was to share with people, especially younger people, this time of a great accomplishment when Americans were unified around their president, their Republican president in this case. Even Democrats who didn't vote for him liked him as a person. And it's kind of odd that you know, in this time when today, 2024, people say they want unity, you give them a movie about unity, and some of them seem to hate it.
Well,
they want division instead of the unity that they claim. But it's a very positive film about the positive things that happened in the late 1980s.
I think the takeaway from living through those times for Reagan was he had a sense of reaching out across the aisle for bipartisan. Mm-hmm. But he also, his sense of humor saved him many times, even after he was shot.
Right, it did. And, you know, he says to Nancy, and he says it in the film. And by the way, Nancy is played by Penelope Ann Miller, who's amazing in this film. I mean, I think she kind of steals the show. But he says, you know, honey, I forgot to duck.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
And then when he's there with the surgical team, he says to them, I hope you're all Republicans, right? And the doctor says, today, Mr. President, we're all Republicans. And we also included a line where when Tip O'Neill is there at his bedside, when Reagan comes out of surgery and comes out of it, and they're holding hands together, reciting the psalm, and Reagan says, you know, Tip, I gave strict orders for no Democrats within 500 yards. Right. But he had a sense of humor and bipartisanship. The Reagan tax cut in August 1981, the Washington Post called it the greatest example of bipartisanship in recent congressional history. It was overwhelmingly approved by a Democratic Congress. Democrats like Joe Biden voted for it. So it was a time of unity when the country came together.
Dr. Paul Kengor, Professor, Senior Director, and Chief Academic Fellow for the Institute of Faith and Freedom. Political science, your thing. Congratulations on the movie. That's a tremendous accomplishment. And thanks for the time today. We appreciate it.
Well, sure thing, Larry. Thanks. And folks, go see the movie, Reagan the Movie.
I remember. Yeah, I want to see it. I haven't. Our producer, Erin Farragonia, has seen it. She enjoyed it. I love that the way he talked.
Well, yes.
Mr. President, what are you going to do about Red China?
Well, never serve it on a purple tablecloth.
That's a good imitation.
Thanks, Professor. All right, take care.
All right.
We unfortunately have a mental health crisis in this country.
Sometimes it just is the guns. It's just the guns. Did he lose the 2020 election?
Tim, I'm focused on the future. Did Kamala Harris censor Americans from speaking their mind in the wake of the 2020 COVID situation?
That is a damning non-answer.
That's about as contentious as it got last night. An hour and 40 plus minutes live from New York on CBS. Larry Richard, the Big K Morning Show. And we welcome a professor of presidential rhetoric, University of Pittsburgh, Dr. Jerry Schuster. Doc, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
A little more civility, a lot more actually, than what we have seen in the previous two debates, one with Trump and Harris, the other with Trump and Biden.
Right. And actually, I would characterize last evening as less of a debate in most key areas and more of a healthy, in-depth discussion, even though there were obvious differences of opinion, as expected. But, neither one of them went after the other one in the way that we've experienced previous debates. That's for sure.
Yeah, and the clip I just played was probably the most contentious it got. And
correct.
It was civil. They shook hands prior, and they shook hands and apparently were chit-chatting after. You could see them by the podium doing that. But that said, does this really change anybody's mind, Doc?
No, I think not. I think that people were looking to this. Well, let's put it this way. If anyone thought that a vote would be changed as a result of anything that occurred during the vice presidential debate, I think they were very naive about politics. And I think that both of those persons, the contenders, were well prepared. I disagree with some of those persons who said last night, whenever they were characterizing how the debate went for both of them, I don't know that I perceived Walsh to be nervous and upset, maybe in the first question or two, but after that, he was as competent and as articulate as Vance, and he was just Walsh being Walsh.
And for both of them, that first question came right off the heels of Iran sending almost 200 ballistic missiles into Israel. So they were hit with a question that they might not have necessarily been really well prepared to answer on behalf of their, presidential running mates.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And in fact, what were they doing at the time this was ongoing? They were preparing for last night.
Right. And that story just broke. So, and then once they settled in,
and it was ongoing.
Yeah, once they settled in, I agree with you. Both seemed, pretty comfortable in their own shoes, pretty comfortable with their conversation, and both at some point, multiple times, said, "Well, I agree with some of what you're saying." And
well,
I think
a lot of us
were sitting back going, "What?"
I think that's probably one of the major benefits of that debate, being that it was less a debate and more of a discussion about key areas, and there were no real surprises on either side. I will say, though, that I was offended by Vance's remark when we came to economics, and he when he was challenging the Wharton's conclusions about some of the experiences and suggestions of Biden and Harris, and he said, those PhDs apparently are very intelligent, but no real common sense. And I thought, oh, okay.
Thank you, Mr. PhD.
Yeah.
Duly noted. Yeah.
But you know what? I think it's important to understand that, especially when they came to issues like gun control, immigration, and Roe versus Wade, they exercised good common sense by indicating what their side represented in all of those key areas, but they didn't get into any name-calling or major arguments that could not be won and could not be resolved. But the other thing that I think that Vance did that was very intellectually focused, when they were talking about gun control, one of the conclusions he reached was that such healthy discussions as we've just had, and I think I'm coming close to his actual quote, was the fact that You know, we can discuss this in great detail, and it should be done on a bipartisan basis, which is something we seldom do and exercise effectively. And I thought, you know, most of us have been saying that about the House and the Senate and how they achieve their goals. If bipartisan discussion is healthy, but, you know, not the way they approach it.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, there's no reasonable person watching that doesn't want to protect our children in any way, shape, or form that we can. So figuring right. out a way to do that for the benefit of all is something I think a lot of Americans certainly agree with. What is the solution? How can we do that to protect our kids? I mean, that's really our duty and charge is to protect children, right?
Right. And I think that one of the things in terms of politics that both achieved, and cooperatively especially, is that they did this hour and 40 minutes, and there was no rancor, very, very little of it initially, but then it got to be they looked at each other, they discussed these, and, you know, you knew what their opinions were in the first place, and when they discussed those in even greater detail, the other person looked at them, and even their nonverbal suggested, well, I see your opinion, but, you know, that kind of approach. Nothing's wrong with that. We know what their opinions are. You don't have to name call. You don't have to denigrate the opponent in any way, shape, or form, nonverbally or verbally, in order to achieve the goal that they're attempting to achieve.
That said, the vice presidential debate is history. We're moving on, and Donald Trump comes to Butler on Saturday, back to the same place, the Butler Farm Show. Expected to speak around 5 p.m. There'll be a lot of people interested in just the fact that he's coming back to that spot. And Kamala Harris did a one-on-one with KDK-TV's John Delano. He'll share more of that conversation today on KDK-TV. That said, southwestern Pennsylvania and PA still very important, obviously, to both parties and candidates. So right. We're going to see more of the same.
They're looking at those 19 votes. Our 19
electoral votes.
Yeah, the electoral votes, as though they were a pot of gold, and in reality, they are.
And that
we
said,
are really important in Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
You're not off the hook yet, Doc, as a PhD.
Thank you.
Well, can you anticipate any October surprise?
No, and they were talking about that last night. No, I can't. And the only thing that might interfere with a lot of this in the way that everything is going politically is something that untoward that even on a greater scale would occur in the Mideast. You know, if somebody gets involved in nuclear warfare, that certainly would make changes all the way around.
On that note, thanks for your input, Doc. Always appreciate it. And don't worry, we'll be calling again.
Thank you.
Either that or worry, we'll be calling again.
Right.
Dr. Jerry Schuster, an expert in presidential rhetoric, University of Pittsburgh. Appreciate his input and everybody that's contributed this morning. Coming to PPG Paints Arena next Tuesday night, the first of a 10-stop tour, Stevie Wonder. It's going to be a big show, and we happen to have tickets for you. 412-922-1020. We'll take caller number 7. 412-922-1020. Aaron, do you ever see Stevie Wonder in concert?
No, I haven't.
He's an extraordinary talent,
it
obviously.
It would be quite the treat.
Yeah, so we're going to do this all week on the Big K Morning Show and give you a chance to see Stevie Wonder. Tonight, Gold Over America, Simone Biles, and the male and female gymnast team will be performing at PPG Paints. And also the AEW at the Peterson Event Center. If you like that wrestling, very popular here back in the day. Of course, in Pittsburgh, we have a great tradition. So you have an opportunity to check that out. Meanwhile, back to the vice presidential debate. Who won? Most people agree that it was more or less a tie. If you're aligned with Donald Trump, you thought J.D. Vance won. If you're aligned with Kamala Harris, you thought Tim Walz won. From CBS, Jared Hill.
Vice presidential candidates J.D. Vance and Tim Walz, in their first meeting, sparred over top issues like Iran and abortion.
We trust women. We trust doctors.
Let the individual states make their abortion policy.
And gun violence.
We unfortunately have a mental health crisis in this country.
Sometimes it just is the guns. It's just the guns.
At times, the discussion more tense, like this exchange over the 2020 election.
Did he lose the 2020 election?
Tim, I'm focused on the future. Did Kamala Harris censor Americans from speaking their mind in the wake of the 2020 COVID situation?
That is a damning non-answer.
While talking immigration, Walz challenged Vance over his past comments about Haitian migrants living in Ohio.
That vilified a large number of people who were here legally.
He's very worried about the things that I've said in Springfield. The people that I'm most worried about in Springfield, Ohio, are the American citizens who have had their lives destroyed by Kamala Harris's open border.
In a new CBS News poll, debate watchers said the tone last night was generally positive. 42% said Vance won versus 41% for Walz. The rest said it was a tie. Though more said they think Walz is more prepared to be president. Walz also ranked higher on abortion and health care, while Vance got the edge on the economy and immigration.
I've been impressed by the civility and the addressing of the issues.
After the debate, Vance sat for a cable news interview, while Walz and his wife Gwen grabbed pizza.
These VP debates don't typically move the needle for a presidential election, but again, the big difference with this one is these two undercard members of their tickets might be the ones who have the last word, at least in this type of back and forth, because as of now, there is not another debate scheduled between the presidential nominees.
Jared Hill in New York.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.